back till your sorry ass is gone. I'm tired of cheating and running around. Never saw the wrong in anything you've done. Whiskey's gone.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm Logan, and I'm joined today by my gracious comrades in arms, Andrew and Tommy, ever so impatient Tommy. And we are waiting on our buddy Nigel. He'll be connecting in a few minutes. But until then, we'd like to go ahead and get into it. Week 10 was an interesting little amalgamation of games right there. We had a fun one at Nebraska at Wisconsin, going to overtime. So, obviously, with the rankings out now for the college football playoffs, do you feel like Wisconsin's getting a fair shake after their performance? Tommy, I'll start with you.
I just want to say that the committee rankings are absolute garbage at this point. They're actually worse than the AP rankings, which I didn't know was physically possible. So, no, they're not getting a fair shake, and neither is anybody else.
Oh, I'm glad you gave us plenty of details about why it's so unfair. I mean, I agree. I don't like the SEC bias, but you got...
All right, Logan, you want me to go into it? First off, Western Michigan is rated 6 spaces lower in the committee ranking, even though they're undefeated. And then you look at across the board who's there. The committee has rated Auburn higher, Texas A&M higher, Colorado higher. And for the sake of dropping teams like West Virginia and North Carolina and Virginia Tech, and even Florida, which makes no sense to me, who had a pretty sound win over albeit a garbage Georgia team. But they also have Penn State randomly rated up in the top 15, which kind of blows my mind with what they've done this year and the amount of teams that are rated below them. So about the only thing they got right is Washington State ranked at number 25 and Alabama ranked at 1. Outside of that, I'm not sure I really agree with anything they've said.
Okay, well, we got off our original topic, Andrew, but since we're already talking about the rankings, do you want to talk about your feelings on the playoff rankings?
You know, I don't necessarily think they're as awful as Tommy. I don't really get A&M above Washington. I'm a big fan of undefeated teams or undefeated teams. You could say the same thing about Western Michigan. I think they need to get a little more respect. You know, and then you've got a 2-loss Wisconsin, a 2-loss Auburn, which, I mean, to me, what, you know, Wisconsin beat a Nebraska team that's now ranked below them. Auburn's beaten LSU. Do we really know if LSU's that good? You know, they've beaten Arkansas, which apparently happens a lot.
Well, they bounced back after their early losses, but not to really impressive teams. Their most impressive one is Ole Miss, and they're 3-5. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, I can get, you know, the top 10's kind of, you know, it's not awful, like I said, outside of A&M and Washington, but, you know, then it's just kind of, you know, it turns into kind of a crapshoot. And in all honesty, I get why they rank more than the top four, but I already kind of got a feeling about who's going to go into these New Year's Six bowls anyway. So I don't know. It's,
well, do you feel like this is a display of, you know, bias by the people who are holding the rankings? Because we know there are definitely some top SEC officials, like the Arkansas president, for example, is actually the head guy on the table at this voting poll. Is that possibly having an effect here? Because, you know, for all the crap we give the SEC, it sure seems weird to me that a 1-loss team just in general is getting ranked above a no-win team, like in any circumstance.
I mean, my thought on it is I think they're giving A&M more credit for hanging with Alabama for two quarters than they are giving Washington for being undefeated, which it's that old quality loss bullshit we always get up. You know, a loss is still a loss no matter who it's to. Washington's undefeated. Because honestly, why can't you make the same argument with some of the other teams? you know, Ohio State's losses is to Penn State. What happens if Ohio State knocks off Michigan and Michigan's only loss is Ohio State? Are you going to rank them ahead of a ranked team, an unbeaten team?
Well, and then is the Penn State being ranked that high just their argument to keep Ohio State in?
I 100% believe that. I mean, Penn State's losses are – who did they lose to? To Michigan, I believe, and they lost to Pitt, which we've seen that Pitt's kind of a middle-of-the-road team. They're not bad, but they're not good.
You know, the other thing you can look at is you've got Auburn ranked above Florida, so you can take the whole SEC bias out of it because there's two SEC teams, and you've got a one-loss Florida Gators team whose only loss was playing fairly close with a top 15 Tennessee team at the time who was thought to be pretty good. And then you've got Auburn, who's got two losses in there, and like Andrew said earlier, their only two big wins are LSU, which we're not 100% sold on, and Arkansas, which we're not 100% sold on. They did beat Ole Miss pretty handily this weekend, but, you know, Ole Miss, as we'll talk about later, may not make a bowl game this year. So it just doesn't make sense to me that a win is not a win across the board.
Yeah, it's a little chaotic. So I don't know what – I'm really hoping that, Tommy, your philosophy of things – you know, eventually the system kind of works itself out. I hope that stands up, but right now I'm have some serious questions. Well, Nigel's having some technical difficulties, but I'm gonna give him a chance to talk about this. Nigel, what are your thoughts on the playoff rankings right now? Never mind. He's disconnected. So I guess with that, we are going to move on. So let's try to get a little bit back on topic. Obviously, we kind of went over the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. It was a big game in overtime, and Nebraska now has to pretty much win out to stay ahead in the West. So that makes things interesting for Wisconsin playing. They've still, considering they're still ranked above where Nebraska is, who do you favor in this race from this point on, Andrew?
You know, Wisconsin finally got a big win. They've really been, you know, you don't want to say they've deserved it because they've played so tight with some of the other really good teams. You know, it's another example of where you look at it and crossover rivals are going to play a role. You know, Nebraska is at Ohio State this weekend, so that's obviously going to be a huge game for them. And Wisconsin's at Northwestern. I mean, you look at the remaining schedules, and Wisconsin's got a very winnable four games in Northwestern, Illinois, Purdue, and Minnesota. You know, Nebraska's big challenge is obviously going to be this weekend at Ohio State. You know, if they lose that game, Wisconsin gets back in the driver's seat, so to say. But then, you know, Nebraska's got Minnesota, Maryland, and then they end the season at Iowa, which I think we're not really sure what Iowa is, and I think we're not really sure what Minnesota is, but they're definitely games that Nebraska should be favored to win. So I do think that Wisconsin's got the easiest road in as what we've seen. But, I mean, you talk about a team that just wins some ugly games. You know, I think that's what's going to hurt Wisconsin somewhat is they don't win games by big scores. They play good defense. They score enough points to win, but that's really what they do.
Well, yeah, and then you got to take into consideration they did struggle early against Georgia State at home of all teams. So even though they've performed well recently, that is no guarantee that they can beat all of those teams. Tommy, what are your thoughts? Do you favor Wisconsin or Nebraska?
You know, I think at this point I have to favor Wisconsin just because I think Ohio State and Iowa, I don't think Nebraska comes out of both of those. I don't necessarily think that Ohio State is guaranteed to win this weekend, Nebraska definitely has a great shot at it. And it should be a pretty entertaining game to watch. But even if they escape that one, I think Iowa, which, you know, Andrew says we're not sure about, but they've still got some talent. They're a pretty good football team. Obviously, their loss to Nebraska or Northwestern was kind of questionable and made us wonder what the heck's going on. But outside of that, you know, they've won a lot of the games that they should have. Their two losses are to North Dakota State, which we know North Dakota State is not a real FCS program. They're much better than that. And then to Wisconsin. So definitely have a chance to drop one there. So I'm going to have to favor Wisconsin just because I think the schedule is set up that way for them.
Fair enough. Yeah. We'll see what happens moving forward. Really quick, we've kind of dragged off onto some side topics, but let's talk about Baylor at Texas. That was an interesting matchup. I was expecting Baylor to kind of roll over Texas based on their past performances for the past couple of weeks, but Texas pulled it together. Does this affect Charlie Strong's job position in your mind?
I think so. You know, I mean, the more wins he gets, obviously the better chance he has.
So even though they ruined the Big 12's chances of getting a playoff spot, although in my mind it was ruined beforehand, you think overall this is a good thing for Texas. They're moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's a great win for Strong, especially coming off the tough loss at Kansas State. They're 4-4. They've got winnable games remaining on the schedule at Texas Tech, West Virginia, at Kansas, and TCU. You know, and I think if Strong can pull it together and make a bowl game, he somewhat puts the pitchforks at bay for another year. Because if you really look at their schedule, the Oklahoma State game is really the only game that they got blown out in. And that's what they always say about rebuilding is you lose big, you lose close, then you win. And so, you know, this I really think if he can string together enough wins to hit a bowl game, that'll hopefully give him another year for his young guys to mature and to really kind of work out some of the kinks. I think Sterling Gilbert, the OC, has been a fantastic hire and is a great fit with Shane Bichel. They just got to kind of sort out what's going on defense, which, as we've seen, no one in the Big 12 plays defense anyway.
True enough, yeah. Tommy, I'm just going to ask you outright, do you think after the season you've seen so far, Charlie Strong should be keeping his job at the end of the year?
If this was any program that's not Texas, I would say unequivocally yes. I mean, his losses on this season, while, you know, the Kansas State and the Oklahoma State are rough, I mean, the only game that they shouldn't have lost is Kansas State. Oklahoma's a pretty good team. Cal's a pretty good team, and Oklahoma State's a pretty good team. So right there with Texas. But it being Texas, it being the largest athletic department in the country, having the most money and kind of the reputation that they try to cultivate, it's going to make it very hard. If he doesn't win two of these next four bowl games, I think he's gone. Or win two of these next four games to make it to a bowl, I think he's gone. If he does make a bowl, I agree with Andrew. I think they give him one more shot at it, especially with their number one coaching prospect that all the rumors have been circulating kind of falling down with Houston slouching towards the season. So I think Strong a lot more than people may realize. That being said, if some booster convinces Nick Saban, I don't care who it is, I think they're gone in a second for Saban.
God, anybody would be gone in a second for Saban. Like, shit, I think we could find money for Saban somewhere if for some reason he wanted to come to Georgia Tech. I don't see that ever happening, but hey, let's be optimistic. All right, well, moving on, we'll get to the rest of the recaps. We kind of hit on all the poll talk, and man, there's a lot of anger out there. But Boise State lost to Wyoming. I didn't see that coming. I don't know. Andrew, you're usually up on the minor teams. Did you expect that out of Wyoming?
You know, I thought Wyoming would cover. You know, Craig Bowles done a halfway decent job of really trying to put together some kind of a program at a place that may be one of the hardest places to recruit and hardest places to coach in the country. I mean, Wyoming's just a barren wasteland when it comes to high school talent, and then it's not exactly a destination you really want to kids are going to be able to. Which this win makes Wyoming bowl eligible. Their only losses are a close loss to Eastern Michigan, and then they got blown out by Nebraska. Now, in all honesty, this really does set them up to make a good run at winning their side of the Mountain West. They've got winnable games the remainder of the year, save the tough match on the 19th against San Diego State.
Funny to say that it'll be interesting to watch how that race turns out. You know, I was fully expecting it just to be San Diego State and Boise at the beginning of the year. But with Boise's loss, that knocks off one of our dark horses outside of the Power Five. So Western Michigan's the only one left, and right now they are rowing for their lives against Ball State, of all teams. Honestly, Tommy, they're your boys. You're real up on P.J. Fleck. Also, the fact that he likes the Cubs, I'm not opposed to his attitude. So if they keep winning, we've kind of talked about this with the polls and the undefeated stance. If they keep winning, where would you limit them to? Should playoff spot, top five bowl, where do you stand?
So Western Michigan needs to win out. I mean, we experienced a similar thing with Marshall last year, who came in, and actually Marshall might have even played better to start the season than Western Michigan has this year. And Western Michigan has been dominant. I mean, their closest game was by 15 points outside of Northwestern that they beat by one. But after that, they've beaten everybody by more than two touchdowns. So it's been a dominant performance. But to continue talking down this way of where do we play somewhere there's limit, they've got to win out to really figure out where they're at. But even if they win out and all hell breaks loose and everybody at the top starts losing, they still don't make a playoff. The system's not set up for a Western Michigan to be in the playoff spot. It's just not ready for it. And their wins aren't dominant enough, and their schedule isn't difficult enough to be able to warrant that. And if you start going through each of the Power Five conferences, and I'm not going to waste the time doing that now, but even if Alabama doesn't make it and Clemson doesn't make it, the teams that step into those spots probably get the nod over Western Michigan, even if it's somebody like a North Carolina or Virginia Tech coming out of the ACC, or if we look in the Big 12, we've got Oklahoma out there that has a chance and stuff like that. So I really think they can make a New Year's Six Bowl. If they win out, they should make a New Year's Six Bowl, but the playoff, I don't think is really on the radar, and that's unfortunate.
Well, that's kind of the system that we live in at the moment, but things might change in the future, but for the moment, that's what we got. So really quick, a lot of this stuff is kind of wound down. We already talked about the Big Ten, where you're looking at Michigan and Ohio State out east, and then you're looking at Nebraska, Wisconsin in the west. Out in the Pac-12, you've basically got Washington. It is an interesting battle in the south between what's looking like Colorado and Utah at this point. Although I'm sure that some teams, it's still kind of wide open for certain teams to bounce back in. We've got in the ACC, it's all chaos.
I mean, the only real challenger in the north would be Washington State.
Yeah, which makes things interesting. And then, again, moving to the ACC, we've got pure chaos, except for in the Atlantic, where you basically got Clemson coming out. Nobody cares about the Big 12. And now we're moving to the SEC, which is kind of where I want to talk about. We know Alabama is expected to come out of the West. But, hey, UGA is terrible. And so UT loses, and their team is falling apart. UGA is trash. So the question becomes, is UF what we think they are, or can Kentucky snipe this conference out with a couple of sneaky wins if UF drops a few games, especially the LSU game on the road that's coming up?
Well, the thing we have to remember is that Florida has the game in hand against Kentucky because they beat Kentucky. And so, you know, Kentucky's sitting there with two conference losses, and they need a win out, and they need Florida to drop two, which, I mean, in all honesty, Arkansas at Arkansas would be an opportunity. If Arkansas wins this weekend and Kentucky wins this weekend, I think then we can really start to talk about it, because that would allow Florida to lose again at LSU. And then obviously you'd have to have Kentucky beat Tennessee. In fact, Kentucky could win the next two, and then they're done with conference play. They get Austin Peay, and then they have to play at Louisville. So, you know, that really hinges on the Arkansas-Florida game this weekend. If Arkansas wins, we really do have a shot at Kentucky winning out and maybe playing Alabama. But if Florida wins and beats Arkansas, I think it's a moot point, because there aren't enough games left on the schedule for Florida to lose.
All right. Well, Tommy, I'll point to you. How realistic is that opportunity? I mean Andrew, have underestimated the Hogs repeatedly. Do you think that Arkansas has a real chance of beating Florida?
You know, it's not just about Arkansas. I think it's proven that they're a scrappy team that can win an SEC East opponent as well. So South Carolina, LSU, it too? Absolutely. You know, Florida right now, see.
Tommy, you're kind of,
you know, Tennessee's looking
Tommy,
out.
Tommy, you're kind of breaking up on us. So, I'm going to,
can you hear me now?
Give it a shot.
Okay. I was going to say that Florida's only loss, is to Tennessee, who is turning out to be not necessarily as good as we thought they might have been. So, between Arkansas, South Carolina, and LSU, I definitely think, there's a good chance they drop two of those. But at the same time, I don't see Kentucky necessarily beating UGA and Tennessee in these next 2 weeks. I mean, this is a fairly rough stretch for them to go through of conference play.
Fair enough. I mean, granted, if you haven't looked in the news, Tennessee's locker room is kind of falling apart. So it's not – it's – an interesting situation for both of these teams, where I think Kentucky, you would say beforehand that that's probably one of the toughest opponents you could pick out. And for Florida coming out of the West, both of those teams don't look as bad as, you know, Auburn or Alabama coming off the hinges. So it'll be interesting to see. These are kind of two teams that, I mean, honestly, I think the only Kentucky game I've watched was against South Carolina, and what the hell does that tell me? Absolutely nothing. So I'm going to be curious to see how that plays out. You're right. I think, Andrew, you're right. It's a long road for Florida to drop those games, but I'm curious to see what happens. All right. So we're kind of moving right along. We're going to get into my new segment, which I'd like to focus on, called the Bowl Game Watch. Now that we're about four games left in the season for everybody, I want to see who you guys think is going to make a bowl game. And I can read off these teams and their next four games. We're going to go down the list, and I'm going to pass it to Tommy and Andrew. Just give me a quick one or two sentence answer. Will this team make a bowl game? And six wins makes a bowl game, not 5-7, I'm not playing that game. So, kicking off, Georgia Tech, they need one win. Their next opponents, they have at UNC, at Virginia Tech, UVA at home, and at Georgia. So, Tommy, do you think Georgia Tech makes a bowl game?
Hell no.
Because every time you've picked against them, they somehow win.
They're going 0-4 in this next stretch. They won't even get to five wins.
All right, Andrew, are you as pessimistic as Tommy?
No, I think Tech makes a bowl game. The Virginia game is really going to be the one that you look at. It's in Atlanta, which is helpful. You know, and the Georgia Tech offense really kind of came alive this weekend. Obviously, the defense can't stop anyone, so if they're going to win games, it's going to be shootouts. But, you know, I think that they'll pull possibly one, maybe two wins out of the next four games, you know, in a 7-5 season with a win over Georgia is not a bad thing, especially coming off of last year.
Fair enough. All right, next up, we've got Texas. They need two wins their next four games at Texas Tech, West Virginia at home, at Kansas, and TCU at home. Now, Andrew, I know you've got that Kansas matchup highlighted because anything can happen when you're in the state. So who do you think that Texas is going to be able to get to a bowl game?
I think so. I think they beat Texas Tech and Kansas and possibly TCU.
Ooh, possibly TCU. You don't think West Virginia, though?
No, I don't. I don't. Although the game is in Austin, so maybe they squeak by, but I think they win at least two.
Okay. Wow. All right, Tommy, you've already said Charlie Strong should lose his job. Will he at least make a bowl game?
Yeah, so I think my stone-cold lock of the century is Texas wins the last two games of the season. I have no idea what's going to happen with Texas Tech and West Virginia games, and frankly don't care because they're going to win the last two games.
All right, fairly optimistic picks. I don't know. I think Kansas could win two games this year, and Texas is asking for it. But that's a topic for another time. Next up, Northwestern. They need two wins. We've got Wisconsin at home, at Purdue, at Minnesota, and then Illinois at home. So other than Wisconsin, it's a pretty easy schedule. Tommy, do they make a bowl game?
I think so. They have some pretty good wins on their schedule with Michigan State, where they put up a ton of points, and at Iowa. So I think they do.
All right, Andrew, this was your dark horse pick, actually, to win the Big Ten, West early in the year. Do they make a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously are going to beat Purdue and Illinois. So there's two wins right there, and I think we've got a good shot at beating Minnesota. You know, the game against Wisconsin, maybe not so much, but I think they have a chance of going 3-1 across the next four.
All right, fair enough. Now, this next one is the one that I find interesting. Ole Miss, who had probably one of the toughest schedules and has kind of fallen apart from being what looked like a good team at the beginning of the year. They need three wins. They've got Georgia Southern at home, at Texas A&M, at Vanderbilt, and then Mississippi State at home. And they need to win three of those games again. So I've got Texas A&M highlighted. Andrew, do you think they can win the rest of their matchups?
I think they beat everybody except Texas A&M.
All right. So they will still make a bowl game by that logic. Best six-win team in the nation. Tommy, do you have Ole Miss?
You know what's funny is when you look at Ole Miss's schedule, every single one of their losses is to a top 25 team, which I think is hilarious that they have five losses. I don't. I think either Vandy or Mississippi State upsets them. I wouldn't be saying that, but I just have a feeling it's just the stars are aligned against Ole Miss this year.
Wow. Okay, then. Next up, TCU. They need two wins. They go on the road to Baylor. They got Oklahoma State at home. Then they go on the road to Texas, and they get Kansas State at home. So, Tommy, you've already said that TCU is going to lose to Texas. That would mean they'd have to win either one of the games against Baylor or Oklahoma State, and then, of course, beat Kansas State. So do you think TCU makes it to a bowl game?
I give them a 50% chance at best. I don't think they do. I think they drop to Baylor and Oklahoma State and Texas. And then I think they beat Kansas State, but it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, it's too little too late. Well, I say that. Five-win teams have been known to get into bowl games, but we're not talking about that trash right now. Andrew, do you believe in TCU?
No.
Wow. Oh, that's your first
I'm
one?
I'm kind of with Tommy. I think Kansas State might be the only remaining win, and they might get in at 5-7 because of APR and other stuff, but I just don't see six wins.
I'm surprised. I am pleasantly surprised. That was your first time that you actually outright said that. Okay. Well, let's see if you feel the way about one of your older teams, the Ducks up in Oregon. They need three wins. They've got at USC, Stanford at home, at Utah, and at Oregon State. So one of those is going to be a tough road win, and then they get Stanford at home. So the only easy one I see is Oregon State. Andrew, do you think the Ducks will make a bowl game?
I think it hinges on that Stanford game. I think they lose to Utah, and I think they lose to Southern Cal. I think they probably beat Oregon State, but that game against Stanford is really going to be the fight. You know, Stanford's a team that I really had a lot of faith in this year and have utterly and completely let me down. So,
well, keep in mind, they need three wins. So you're saying they lose at Utah and they lose at USC?
Then... Yeah, so I guess they don't make it. My bad. Yeah, I don't think they get in.
All right, Tommy.
You know, what's funny is the lowest amount of points they've scored this year is 35, and they still – or no, sorry. The lowest amount of 35. And the next couple of teams coming up have the capability to exploit that, and I don't think Oregon can keep up. I'm with Andrew that Stanford's really the big question mark there, but I think they lose to Oregon State anyway.
Wow.
So I don't see it this year. Look for them to bounce back pretty heavily next year, though. They got a pretty young team, and they'll do fine.
When to lose to Oregon State? When was the last time that happened? Oh, my gosh. All right, next up, NC State. They need two wins. They've pulled out some surprising games. They get FSU at home, which with the way they are playing and the way FSU is playing, it's not unreasonable to say that they could win that. Then they get at Syracuse, Miami at home, and at UNC. They need two wins again. Tommy, what are your thoughts?
So Florida State is a team that I'm just really confused on as if they're really good or not. I think they've got the win at Syracuse. Syracuse is just fairly struggling this year. So I think they've got that. I think their other opportunity is Miami, but I don't see them bowling this year. I think Florida State beats them. I think Miami beats them. And I think UNC beats them. So I don't think they quite get there.
All right. And Andrew, I know you've been high on Syracuse. I think if you're like me, you've been low on Miami recently. I don't think you're going to pick against UNC. Do you feel the same way? NC State's not going to make it?
They lose out and fire Dave Doran.
Oh, wow. Just straight up not going to win any of those games. You're really
confident. And they absolutely back up the Brinks truck up to Norman, Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley.
That's interesting. Oh, that's a topic for another day. Next up, we got Miami. They need two wins. Pitt at home. At Virginia, which is, as we saw last week, a very dangerous place to play. At NC State and Duke at home. Andrew, you think Rick is going to get his first bowl game at Miami?
Easily. You know, Miami's got talent. They're a little beat up, but it's tough to break a four-game losing streak. But they've all been relatively close losses. The Virginia Tech game is really the only game that on some level got out of hand. You know, and I think they can easily beat Virginia, NC State, and Duke. So there are three wins right there. I think Rick definitely makes a bowl game his first year.
All right. Tommy, you feel the same?
Yeah, I feel the same, and I think it's those three teams that they beat, UVA, NC State, and Duke. So I think they drop one more, go to five, and then they rebound from Virginia, win out, and finish the season at 7-5.
Fair enough. And the last team is a sad spot for me. I picked UCLA to win the South early on. I don't think they have a chance at that anymore. They need three wins. They've got at Colorado, Oregon State at home, which is hopefully a gimme, USC, and at Cal, who has been playing surprisingly well, all things considered. Tommy, did it tell me how UCLA doesn't make a bowl this year?
Well, they lose their last two games regardless of what. I hate to admit it, but Colorado is playing really well. So I don't think they beat either of the California teams left on their schedule, so they can't make it there anyway. And then Colorado, they're setting themselves up to be stomped this weekend.
Fair enough. Wow, so they're not going to make four wins hardly. Andrew, you think they have a chance?
Nope. And Jim Mora might be looking for a new job.
Didn't think we'd be saying that at the beginning of the season. All right. Well, fair enough. So we're going to see how that plays out. I'm going to need to keep count. And obviously you saw I didn't make any picks, so clearly I can stay perfect. We're going to move on. Andrew, it's your time for the Fish-Smithson Report.
Well, you know, every week we seem to talk about Fish plays himself a fantastic game, but the Jayhawks still get blown out. Again, happened this week, 56-3 win for Oklahoma. Fish had 4 solo tackles, 9 total tackles, and a pass breakup. He's put together a pretty good stat line this season. I think definitely has a shot at being, you know, first or second team all Big 10, Big 12. He's got 40 solo tackles, 17 assisted tackles, 1.5 tackles for a loss, a sack, 2 forced fumbles, and 2 interceptions. You know, his brother, Weston Steelhammer, Air Force, rebounded with a win over Fresno State they needed after dropping a couple of games, which helped set them up coming into the matchup against Army. 2 solo, 3 assists, 1 interception. Gives him 27 solo, 21 assists, 2.5 tackles for loss, a sack, 3 interceptions, 3 pass breakups. It wouldn't be an outstanding player report without finally including a Georgia Tech player. Justin Thomas played probably one of the best games of his career against Duke. 10 of 14 for 264 yards and 2 touchdowns, a 99.7 rating, to go along with 17 carries, 195 yards and 2 touchdowns. He actually ran for 227 yards, but he lost some yards and sacks. And you know, to follow up Justin Thomas, another option quarterback in Will Worth at Navy, in a tough loss to South Florida, 15-25 for 300 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But he had 28 carries for 129 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he really ran his butt off trying to bring home a victory for the midshipmen.
Some good scrambling quarterbacks pulling out some big victories right there. Oh wait, did Navy actually – Navy won, right?
Navy lost, unfortunately, because I think they gave up 8,000 yards to USF on the ground.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to win when you give up 8,000.
I think it was 8,007.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if that last sack counted or not.
Well, Tommy, since you're already up on the extra useless 7 yards, why don't you give us your useless facts for the week?
All right, so like all the other ones, I have 2 useless stats to go over. First is the College Football Ranking Committee rankings. Those are completely useless. I've already talked about that. And second one is wins and losses. So based off all the ranking systems, we've already determined that winning games that football is no longer determined based off winning or losing a game. It's based off of how you position yourself within the landscape of 128 teams, i.e. Western Michigan being undefeated and still ranked at 23 behind a bunch of 2-loss teams. So just with that in mind, I'm going to keep it short this week. As you watch football, just remember, it's not about how many points you score. It's not about whether you win or lose. It's all about where you are positioned within the landscape of college football.
So basically be in the SEC. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, or be in a dominate it. Not like Oklahoma did, but like they should have done.
All right. Well, it's going to wrap us up for this week. We're sorry, Nigel, that you couldn't get everything figured out, but we'll look forward to hearing from you next week. As always, you can listen to us and read more of our posts at toemeetsleather.net. Maybe we're going to have some NBA posts coming up soon. I know Tommy's not in favor, but I think everybody else is kind of like, all right, sure. So until next time, have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.